Well, let's read Matthew chapter 13. We're going to still stay in Matthew, but I'm changing the title of the series. It's called Parables of Jesus. So over the next month, in the month of July, we're going to be looking at different parables of Jesus. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. It says, "That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd gathered to him. So he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach." Let me just pause right there. It's interesting. Because I've been doing it backwards. I have you all stand and then sit, and I stand and preach, where Jesus, he sat and they stood. So in order to follow the Bible this morning, I kid. Verse 3. "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would open up our ears today, that you would give us ears to hear your word. It has went out, it has been sown. And I pray, God, that you would open our hearts to you. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this week, you know, this week just in the life of our church, we've had some ups and downs and some good news and some bad news. And one instance that was bad but turned good was this guy over here, Jeremy. And good to see you this morning. I tell you, it's just a blessing and a praise to God that you're here. Amen? So Jeremy, he's at your work and just kind of just goes out of it. And two of his coworkers are there and knowing something's not right. They rush him to the hospital. They get him in the hospital. He had a heart attack. And the kind of heart attack that if he'd been maybe somewhere else and a little bit longer, wouldn't have made it. Is that correct? They got him in the hospital, and now he's with us this morning. And so, I mean, praise God, right? And I know a lot of people just sent out a lot of prayers, but looking at Jeremy, you would think, man, there's nothing wrong with that guy. He's strong, you know. He's stout, man. You know, I don't want to mess with him, right? I mean, he's a strong dude, and he's a young guy. I mean, who knew that there was something going on with his heart? You know, and that's the way with all of us, right? I mean, we can look good on the outside, and we can think, man, everything's going well, but we don't know what's going on in the inside, do we? We don't know that. That's the way it is, also, you know, spiritually. We can fake things and we can make ourselves look good on the outside. We can put on a smile. We can put on the right kind of clothes. We can say the right kind of words. But we never know if that heart is truly a heart after God, do we? The heart is deceitful, the Bible says. Desperately wicked, who can know it? That's why this morning, as we look at the parable of the soils, we need to do a heart check. We need to see if our heart is the good soil today. That we have a heart that is willing and ready to hear God and to obey God. Amen? And so when we look at the parable this morning, we see the parable of the sower goes out to sow seed. Now, they would have done it different than what we do today. If a farmer goes out to sow seed today, you know, they're going to get in a John Deere. and they're going to plow it up, right? They're going to go and they're going to do it. Well, what they would do in the biblical times is this: they would go out and he would scatter seed. The sower would scatter seed, and the wind would take the seed and send it different places, right? Some would fall on the good soil as he's going through the field that he wants to sow, but some would fall by the nearby walking path, the downtrodden path, the place where after feet go on it and walk on it for so long, it just becomes really hard. You all know what I'm talking about. You've been on out in parks and stuff, and they've had walking trails and walking paths, and that dirt becomes really hard, right? And then some, there would be rocky places, and there would be places where thorns would come up. So as the sower is scattering the seed could end up in various places. And so he begins comparing these different places that the seed is sown on to our heart, to how we receive it. And so we're gonna do a heart check this morning. And in chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus begins to explain the parable to us. And in verse 18, he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed is sown beside the road. The hard pan, the hard ground, the stony ground, the hard earth is easy when the seed falls on it for that bird to come quickly down and just snatch it and get it. There is a warfare that goes on when the gospel is presented. There is an enemy called Satan who does not love you. He will pretend that he loves you. He will appeal to you in pleasing ways. The Bible says that he disguises himself as an angel of light. And so he woos you into his kingdom only to destroy you. You realize that. The enemy is not your friend. He's not your buddy. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy you. If he can kill you, he will. If he can destroy your life, he will. If he can rob you of joy, he'll do that. And so any time that the gospel is presented, any time on a Sunday morning that the gospel is presented and what we're doing here today, there is a spiritual battle going on, and he wants to destroy and take that seed from you. So this morning you may be here and you're not a believer, and he wants to distract your mind in so many ways. He wants to have you thinking about the 4th of July celebration that you're going to get, the fireworks that you want to buy, the meal that you're going to have. He wants you to think of all kinds of stuff and get your mind distracted, so you will not hear the word of God and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today. Okay? So that's a battle. Right now it's going on. And we think, what causes the ground to be hard? Well, it's a place where people walk on and walk on and walk on. And the more they walk, the more press the dirt, and they walk on. And so I got to thinking, what are some ways of this world and ways in our life that our heart becomes hardened and the soil becomes trodden? And I think sometimes our heart gets hardened by just the hardness of life. Do you agree? That not anything that you would have signed up for, not anything that you said, yes, I'd like to walk through this trial, but life just, it just sends you something and it hardens your heart. You may have grown up in a very abusive family. Your father may have been abusive. You may have suffered physical abuse, or you may have suffered verbal abuse, where you were always talked down to, where nothing was ever never good enough, and maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a drug addicted mother that you grew up in, and it just hardened you so much. Maybe it was that one of your parents left. And you grew up with just in a single home, and you never had that mom or you never had that dad, and it crushed you, and it trampled you, and it hardened you. Maybe it was a sickness that came up on you. You know, you didn't ask for that, you didn't want that, but it came. Maybe it's you lose your job. And you don't know what's going on. And I mean, just many different ways that the world can just trample on you. Would you agree? And many times we let the world and the things that happen to us so harden us that we just don't even want to hear about God. And I'll hear statements like this, and maybe you've made statements like this. Well, I went through so much of this that I just don't want to even hear about a good God, because why would a good God allow this to happen? And so we get mad and angry at God when it's not Him, but it's just things in life that's happened, and we allow it, instead of to soften our hearts and cause us to run to God, it hardens. I think that happens sometimes. Would you agree? I think sometimes we're hardened by our own selfishness and our own lust of the flesh. I think sin hardens our heart. I think that we get involved in things and we start living in ways that are anti what God would have us live, and then we just get involved and we want to live how we want to live. We want to do how we want to do, and we want to think how we want to think, and we indulge ourselves in the things that get the flesh going, right? Because why do people sin? Why do we sin? Why do people sin? Because we like it. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't sin. Right? Like Brussels sprouts. How many of y'all eat Brussels sprouts? Y'all are sick individuals. You don't eat what you don't like. So sometimes we don't even have a thought for God, because if we're honest, we love our sin and we love the way that we do it, and we don't even want to hear God. Some of us get so wrapped up in things other than what God wants us to get wrapped in. We get wrapped up in certain movements and in different agendas that we go headlong into certain agendas and certain movements that are not God, that we absorb ourselves and we harden our heart towards that. Our intellectualism can harden our heart. Now, I believe in education. I believe that you should be able to, you should go and try to get the highest level of education that you can get, but education can harden your heart. You can become prideful, and you can become so enlightened that you walk around in the dark. You can get so smart, you get dumb. That can happen. That can happen. You know, you go off to college, and they'll make you think, you know, well, your parents, they're ignorant. They don't know anything because they're a professor. And the Bible, oh, God, the Bible, that's so archaic and out of date. I can't believe, you know, your parents are ignorant, your pastor's ignorant, everybody's ignorant but them. And they try to enlighten you. And sometimes in our education, we can become hardened and suppress and neglect that. We get caught up in wrong things, wrong stuff. Our nation, I believe, is at a hardened state. And the reason why I believe our nation's in a hardened state is because for many years now, our churches have been in a hardened state. And so I listened on the radio this week, and I heard applause of people in our nation applauding the ruling of the Supreme Court. So in essence, what we are doing as a nation is we are applauding the killing and the murder of babies. It's what we're doing. And I've got to ask myself, how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point? And it's because of a hard heart. When you have a hard heart, you care not for the things of God. And you know what? What we need? We need a third great awakening in this nation. We need a spiritual revival to sweep through here. We need a move of God. People ask me, what do you think about the election? I think we need a move of God. I think that's our hope. So we got to be praying that God will begin cracking stony hearts, because there are hearts that have been hardened, maybe by life, maybe by choices, and maybe by false movements, maybe by our own educational endeavors, maybe our own selfish pride will harden our heart, and we don't receive the Word of God. The other kind of heart is a shallow heart. It's found in verse 20. The one whose seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he falls away. Now, we all know folks like this. We've all experienced this. These are the people that make their, you know, like a, since this is 4th of July, we'll use it, the Roman candle Christian. You know, the Roman candles? You know, they blew, 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 and then gone, right? I mean, they come off all fired up, ready. You know, it might be at a revival. It might be at a youth camp. Or it may be at one of those that's those cool movements now that some of church planters are doing, these spontaneous baptisms that aren't really so spontaneous. They're actually planned, by the way. But we get people caught up in something, and they go, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And they get so excited, and they're so fired up. And then when they finally face some persecution and the devil goes, boo, they go, bah! And they're gone. They're gone because they had no genuine faith. They came down, they came down and just said a prayer. They didn't have a conversion experience. All they did was repeat something that the preacher said. If you just repeat something that I say or any preacher says, and that's all you do, you're not saved. You can go through the baptismal waters, and if you've never had a true conversion experience, all you did was get wet. You have to have genuine faith. You can't just have a spurt of enthusiasm and excitement and say, yeah, sign me up. I want to be a part of that. I'm in it. And then when something happens, you're gone. That's not genuine faith. What about those people that they say they're a Christian and boy, they made a profession? He's all right. He's just actually displaying what a lot of the husbands are feeling right now. I can preach louder. Hey, we've had babies crying in this church since day one. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. We'll just crank me up louder, Spoon. Here we go. We just go. I got a mic. I think I can outdo him. Here we go. False professions. This just excitement of, I had a friend, me and him were in our youth group, and we were both listening to the same youth group lesson, and God got a hold of my heart. I don't know what happened to him, but God got a hold of my heart. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Grant, you know about me, but you don't know me. Now, I don't think anyone else heard that voice, but I heard that voice. And he said, you know a lot about me, but you don't know me. And I looked at my friend and I said, I don't know about you. I said, but I need to get saved. And so that night I was like, Jesus, save me, you know. And wow, the Holy Spirit just lifted that burden and filled me. And I was redeemed. And my friend, he went up there and did the same thing. But, you know, now he's has no love for God, no thought for God. You know, what happened there? I had another friend, but we had a revival at our church, and he was a football player. So I was inviting all my friends out to the revival and stuff, and we're trying to get, you know, some of our buddies out there. And so he came to the revival, and they had an altar call, and man, people were coming up. And so here he came. He came, and I was like, man, this is exciting. And so that next Sunday, he got baptized. And so I was all pumped up. You know, he's getting baptized. That's neat. So he gets baptized. He walks up the stairs, gets in the baptistry, gets dunked. Goes back out, dries off, sits down, walks out the church, never came back again. That's the shallow, false profession. That's the one that claims and says, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but they have no follow through. They never have a conversion. There's never a genuine faith. And what we need to do this morning is ask ourselves, you know, would I fall in that category? Am I somebody that just says I love Jesus and follow Jesus, and when things are going well, I'm like, yay, all about Jesus. And then when things go bad, I'm like, forget this. I'm out. That's the shallow heart. Then you have a strangled heart. Look at verse 22. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Notice how Jesus stresses that in this parable. The deceitfulness of riches. That's why, Paul encouraged, why do we put our hope in riches rather than in the God who richly provides? Why do we struggle so with putting our hope and stressing of the things of this world? Because, it's nice to have money, right? If I have a choice between not having money and having money, I'd like to have money, right? At least you can be a little comfortable in your misery, right? Because it's all, we're going to have dark days. But here's the thing that we all got to realize, and we know this, but somehow we don't allow it to really penetrate, is you could have all the money in the world, but if you get a fatal disease, no money in the world can stop that. You can buy the most luxurious house that money can buy, but it will not provide you a family. It won't. You can have the things of this world, and it will not carry you through the most important parts of your life. Won't do it. The rich young ruler, we talked about him a little bit last week. When he came to Jesus, Jesus said, one thing you lack. He said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor, then you'll have riches in heaven. And it says that he walked away. He was saddened, and he walked away from Jesus. He walked away from the kingdom because he had much wealth. He was not willing to lay that down to have Jesus. And what are the worries in your life? What are the treasures in your life that you're not willing to lay down? That you're holding on to? That you put that in front of the kingdom? What is it in your life that Jesus would say, give that up. Surrender that. And then follow me. Are you holding on to anything? It could be a lot of stuff. It could be your own agendas. It could be you're holding on to things of this world that pleasures that you don't want to give up to follow Jesus. What is it? Allow the Holy Spirit to check your heart this morning. Because the last heart is the heart that we want to be. In this parable, the farmer scatters the seed, and out of the four, only one get it. Everyone who is here this morning, the sad reality is some will walk out this door with the same condition of heart that they walked in. But I pray that today something changes. I pray that today that if you have a stony heart or a shallow heart or a strangled heart, that you allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and you will walk out with a soft heart and a saved heart. Because this last heart is the one that receives the word, verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He said, the man that has the soft heart, the heart of the good soil, hears it, understands it, applies it, produces fruit. Produces fruit. The mark of genuine faith is fruitfulness. Now hear me. We are saved by grace through faith alone. But a faith that saves is never alone. Did you get that? Everybody go to sleep on me at one time? We are saved by grace through faith alone. But a faith that saves is never alone. Faith produces fruit. Genuine faith produces fruit. Jesus says, by your fruit, you will know them. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. If you are a born-again believer and you have received Jesus as Lord and you are a genuine follower of Christ, there will be fruit in your life. If there is no fruit, no faith. There will be fruit. Now, it doesn't have to. Everybody don't have to have the same amount of fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But there will be fruit. What's that mean? That means your life will impact other people for the kingdom of God. You'll have an influence on somebody's life. You'll exhibit more patience in your life. More joy will come in your life. More love, more peace, right? More faithfulness. The word of God will become precious to you. Praying will be a daily thing that you will not want to miss. Your faith will be real, and you'll produce things like the salt of the earth. That where you walk, you salt the earth. You'll be the light of the world. Where you go in, light will shine. And so wherever you're at, God uses you for his kingdom. I want to be fruitful. What about you? How many of you all have some folks that you work with that need to know Jesus? A lot. Adam, you got a privilege of driving a school bus. Amen? And these little kids hop on that bus. Some of them are bigger kids and some of them act a fool. They got stony hearts. They need Jesus. What happened? Would happen this year if, now I don't, not when they walk in the school bus, say, do you know Jesus is Lord? I'm not saying do that. But I'm saying, what if you prayed, you're sitting there praying for those kids as they walk in, Lord Jesus, moving their heart. Wonder what happened. Some of y'all work around students, kids, school, coach teams. Lord, what if God moves in their heart? What if God moves in their heart? Some of you've got friends, they don't know Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you're about to breathe your last breath, it don't matter how much you have in your bank account. It matters, do you know Jesus? That's what matters. Some of you got neighbors. Maybe you just need to go fix them a meal. I don't know. But here's what I know. I think that if we did this weekly experiment this week, if we all agree to do this, myself included, that we said, Lord, this week, I want to intentionally be reminded that my heart needs to be soft towards you. That the soil in my heart, it needs to be ready for you to move. And I wonder what would happen if this week, if we just one week, if we just did one week where we as believers in Jesus would say, Lord, this week you open my eyes to the opportunities all around me to be who you want me to be. You take me to play, Lord, if you've got a different plan for my week, do it. However you want me to move, I want to move. When I'm in the store, there may be somebody that I need to pray for that I didn't know I needed to pray for, but you opened my eyes to that. We began saying, Lord, reveal to me any sins or attitudes that need to be removed from me. And we live a life free from sin, free from that stronghold. And we begin putting Jesus and our faithfulness to Him and our love for Him at the forefront. We made sure that we spent time in His Word this week and prayed to Him and heard from Him and allow the Holy Spirit to be who He is, our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, our help, our... What would happen if every one of us did that and allowed God to use us, use our heart in that kind of way? I'd love to hear the testimonies that would come out of that. Because I believe that I would get some emails that would say, man, you're never going to believe what God did this week. I believe we'd begin to hear testimonies of stories. And I believe that there'd be other people in that baptistry. Josh, that bowling team, bowling league, it's good to know that some fruit came out of that bowling league. That there'd be people in that baptism because of you, because you allowed God to use your heart to touch and impact somebody else's life. What would happen if we allowed God to use us completely this week? Well, I don't know what kind of service we'd have on Sunday. It'd be amazing. Let our hearts be soft. Let our hearts be His. And may we follow Him. Allow God. He'll do the... If it's 30, 60, 100, whatever it is, let us be fruitful. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning, we have an opportunity to respond. Lord, out of the people that are here this morning, there's all kinds of different heart conditions right now. Some are stony. And I pray that you would break that stony heart today. I pray that you would do your work in us, Lord, as in Ezekiel, when you said that you'd put a new heart in us, that you would take out the heart of stone and put a heart of flesh, a new heart in us. God, would you do that? Lord, if there's someone that's suffering from a shallow or a strangled heart, that today you would break through. And God, may our hearts be soft to you, and may we be obedient to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond, and let's come.